How do you feel?
Oh, hello.
You seem to want to kill a lot of people.
I do, Sarah. They're all in the book. 503-733-2970. Hey, I came up with a great liner today. I'm going to have this produced. I'm going to have a voice guy say this. Yeah, I'm saying this, not calling dibs on this. Putting the cult in pop culture. Ha! See? Putting the cult in pop culture. Thank you. How's your peeing go?
That was great.
Everything come out okay?
What's wrong with you?
Now that everything's fine. This show is just whizzing by today.
Whizzing.
Speaking of peeing. No, this show is just, you know, this show is zipping by today. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Hello, brother. What's up with you?
I'm just enjoying the show.
Are you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
God bless you, sir. Hey, did you have a bunch of war protests going on in L.A.?
No, not a bunch. I think there was a little tiny one, not the federal building, but most of the big stuff went on in San Francisco, I understand.
Oh, yeah, no, it was, yeah, very, very liberal town. I can see that. So, all right. Hey, so, but the big, this really is the big news. Is finally today, finally, after, didn't he allegedly kill this woman like 100 years ago, Phil Spector?
4 years ago, a little more than 4.
The trial actually starts today.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Jury selection begins.
Oh.
The trial won't start until the 16th of April. At least that's the target date.
Well, that'll never happen.
Although he's here today, it's pretty funny because he doesn't have the big old hair. He looks like Peter Tork from the Monkees.
Really?
Yeah.
Is the big hair fake on Phil Spector?
I haven't gotten close enough to pull on it.
Seriously, I'll give you any amount of money you want. I'll give you anything you want if you get there.
Give it a yank?
Yeah, just go up and just give his hair just a good pull.
The thing this morning looked like a wig, but I don't know.
Maybe, I mean, the part of the, you think, in part of your head, you think.
What was that?
What? What? What's going on, Jim?
I don't know.
What are you doing? You're. What's happening?
Beats me.
Are you hearing a noise?
Is that you or me?
I'm not making any sound.
Well, that's pretty funny.
What are you hearing?
Just a bunch of strange noises.
All right. Sarah, did you hear any strange noises?
No, but I'm eating a pea.
Sarah's chewing on a snap pea, but I'm pretty sure that.
Well, my microphone's off, so you shouldn't be able to hear it.
I heard that.
I can't hear anything.
Back to Uncle Phil.
Okay, anyway. Well, things become very spooky. No, but the one school of thought says that if you were going to get fake hair, like, why would you possibly get hair that looked like that? Like Beethoven sort of sticking his finger into a light socket. On the other hand,
you're not talking about the stablest of human beings.
I guess that is true, but on the other hand, it does make an impression, and maybe he's trying to lay the groundwork early for a lot of, hey, I'm insane.
Well, there's been several interviews, well, not recently, but I think 2002, he talked about, with the London Times, I think, about how he's on medication for schizophrenia and paranoia and all this other stuff, that he's his own worst enemy, he's got devils inside him that he's constantly fighting. So he's laid the groundwork for nuttiness, for the last 3.5-4 years.
Well, he is a pretty crazy guy. I mean, even like years, I mean, the decades ago, he exhibited behavior that obviously indicated he's not well.
Yeah, I mean, he's often been talked about waving guns and holding people at bay, you know, keeping women from leaving his home. He's there having real trouble, I understand, finding defense witnesses for him. In fact, Ronnie Spector, I think, is slated to be one of them. She hates him.
Oh, yeah, well, Ronnie Spector, I mean, literally, he kept her as a hostage in the house for years.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's how desperate he is to find some witnesses in his defense.
Jesus
Christ. There are so many lined up for the prosecution that it's going to be, and it's such a weird night that night because he, you know, according to his limo driver who testified before the grand jury that he said, I think I killed somebody, and then there are the couple of cops who showed up first on the scene, they kind of said the same thing that they heard him say that, you know, and so now he's got to figure how to get around that. By the same token, though, while the coroner says it's homicide, she also had gun residue on both hands, so she could have fired the shot.
And that's just a whole, you know, that in Phil Spector. And again, there's a great biography of him called He's a Rebel, which came out long before this all happened. It came out in like 88, I think, 89. But I mean, he has such a bizarre relationship with the people around him. He spent his whole life making enemies. He has an especially bizarre and usually adversarial relationship with women.
Yeah.
Where there's all this bizarre power dynamic and, you know, he's clearly a guy who's just been compensating for something his whole life. And so it seems like whatever relationship he had with this woman was clearly, it was not a normal relationship probably. There was probably some weird vibe going on there regardless. So,
Maybe it's part of the genius, you know, I don't know, if you want to call the wall of sound genius. I mean, it was just, Paul McCartney hated what he did along the Winding Road, but, you know, he still takes credit for that album.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a very, very strange life he has led. And guys who seem to have the world by the ass on a downhill drag always seem to want to screw it up.
Totally. Well, that's the thing. I read this theory one time. There's a guy who, this was during the whole Lewinsky scandal. A guy wrote this whole assessment of Bill Clinton during the Monica Lewinsky thing, and he said, he was talking about, and this is all the dime store psychology, but he was talking about how these guys were sort of addicted to risk-taking, and he said that it's not really the risk themselves that is the big turn-on, it's the rush that they get afterward when they get away with it and it all sort of turns out okay.
Huh.
And he said that was the thing. He's like, that's the deal with Bill Clinton. It's not even, and I suspect with Bill Clinton, he's overthinking it. I suspect it really is just that he likes to pork chicks. That's really what it is. He just
likes... Bottom line for any young man.
That's really what it is. He just likes to put one more notch on that Bible belt. But, you know, he said that it's not just the risk, it's the getting away with it and having every, you know, beating the system, so to speak, that does that. But Phil Spector is just unstable in all kinds of ways. You see those interviews with the Ramones where they talk about when they were doing the End of the Century record that Spector would just come in there and just fire a gun.
Yeah.
You know, the poor Dee Dee Ramone is in there trying to get some baseline down and Spector's just in there pointing a handgun at him. So, you know, it's just, the guy's clearly all kinds of crazy. Is there any, I mean, is this going to be another one of those O.J. trials that goes on for like 3 years?
No, they're thinking maybe 3 months. There is a lot of testimony to get to, apparently. I don't know what. I mean, he either did or he didn't. And the testimony by the limo driver and the cops either stands or it doesn't. So this whole thing got me kind of whacked anyway. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right. Well, have fun with that. We will have speaks with you in the very near future, my friend.
And I look forward to it.
God bless you, Jim Roop. There you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Sam, is this from you, the story? The L.A. Times?
Yes, it is.
The headline, Barack Obama, the magic Negro. I swear to God.
What?
Look it right here. I'm not making this up. I swear to God, that's the name of the story in the L.A. Times.
That's weird.
Barack Obama is... Jodan Baker is Barack Obama, who is the magic Negro. They're talking about the magic Negro... See how many times I can work that phrase in. He's the name of this article in the L.A. Times. That's a phrase that I'm pretty sure, I don't know, I don't think Spike Lee coined that phrase, but that's a phrase that Spike Lee has used repeatedly to talk about the depiction of black characters in white works of art sometimes, where the black, you know, it's like in a lot of Hollywood movies you like that, where it's like some magical, either literally magical, like in The Green Mile or The Shining, or figuratively magical, like in Driving Miss Daisy, where like a black character appears solely to solve the problems of white people, which is, they're talking about Driving Miss Daisy and The Green Mile and The Shining, and wasn't that in The Green Mile? In The Green Mile, the one with the big, what's that guy, the guy who's going to play Kingpin? What's that guy, the huge guy, he's in The Green Mile, he's that black guy.
Forrest Whitaker?
No, not Forrest Whitaker, he's like 100 feet tall, he's just like the biggest guy you've ever seen in your life. But he's the guy who has the magic power in The Green Mile, and he cures Tom Hanks' prostate problem in The Green Mile. And Spike Lee's always pointing out that here's this guy, this character is this black man who's in this film, who quite literally can bring people back to life. He is omnipotent. He is a godlike character. And there's, you know, wrongfully executed inmates all around him, and he is imbued with godlike power. What does he do? He uses it to cure the prostate ailments of a white man. That's Spike Lee's assessment of that film. All right. That's what the L.A. Times today. Well, I don't have time to read it. But I will say that if you got to go to drudgereport.com and see that anti-Hillary spot, which the Barack Obama people are claiming they have nothing to do with. And if you watch really carefully in that ad, you watch really carefully, it's Michael Clark Duncan. Thank you, sir. Somebody email me again. Michael Clerk Duncan. If you watch really carefully, when the woman is running in to throw the hammer into the Big Brother screen, her shirt has a Barack Obama logo on it, and she's wearing an iPod. So that's a little bit of what do you call it? It's postmodernism in that spot there. All right, what else do we have to get through? I have the worst story ever. Let's see. I have the worst story ever, so I think I'll do this. Then we'll break. We'll come back with Jim Riley. More of these emails coming in about the whatever. Let's see. Rick, you are ugly American. Shut your hole. All right. Thank you, sir. It's 503-733-2970. Let me just read this worst story ever, and then we'll probably take a break. This is from... Where the hell is this from? It's from New Zealand, where life is cheap. Greg Milan, Sunday Star Times. This is a real story. Woman left maimed by tummy tuck. A woman left... There are so many unpleasant phrases in this. A woman left grossly disfigured and... without a nipple or belly button. I don't know if without a nipple means lacking both or just one. As a result, you know, there's certain phrases that don't make any sense like that. Without a nipple. Does that mean she has no nipples left or that she's only lacking one?
What it says that she sans nipple?
No, it says left without a nipple.
Well, that probably means her nipple's gone.
But both or just one?
Well, since it isn't nipples, it's nipple, I'm assuming one.
If she had one left, she's not without a nipple. She has a nipple.
All right, say the sentence again.
A woman left without a nipple. Like, if you're a man who has a home, I have no home. If you're a man without a country...
So she's missing one nipple.
I'm just saying. Here's a question. Okay. You know, speaking of linguistic puzzles, you know that phrase, it's all downhill from here, and it's all... I don't understand how to correctly use that phrase. I was talking to Susan Reynolds this morning. Susan Reynolds, she had this like super flu last week. She was out for like 5 days. She came in and she's bagging it. She's not feeling 100%, but she's back at work today. She's over the illness. And, it looks like the worst is behind her. And so she said, well, you know, I got plenty of fluids and I'm back on my feet and I think I'll be able to get through the whole day. And I opened my mouth and I said, well, okay, well, it looks like it's all downhill from here. And then I realized that doesn't sound right. Because if it's all downhill from here, doesn't that mean that it's all worse from here? And yet if you say it's all uphill from here, that doesn't sound, neither of those sound like they're a good thing. What is the proper way to say that? When you're trying to say that the worst is behind somebody. If you say to somebody, well, it's all downhill from here, I think that makes it sound like you've peaked and every day after this one is going to be bad. But if you say it's all uphill from here, that makes it sound like it's going to be a big struggle. Neither of those phrases make it sound like it's anything good.
What, the girl lost the nipple?
Okay, but before we get to the nipple losing, which is the proper phrase to use?
If something's going good or bad.
Okay, Susan is back from being sick. She was sick, now she's back at work. She's fine. You know, the worst is behind her. And so I open my mouth to say, well, it's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
Okay, but if it's all downhill from here, doesn't that make it sound like it's all bad from here? Like, if we have a really good show today, and I go, well, it's all downhill from here, well, that doesn't sound very good. It sounds like it's a bad thing. But if I were to say it's all uphill from here, that doesn't make any sense either. Neither one of those phrases makes it sound like you're about to have any good days ahead of you. Hello. Time for a break. Let me read this story. Let me just read this and then we'll break. Fine. Don't answer my linguistic queries.
What is wrong with you today?
I don't know how to use that phrase correctly.
Maybe you shouldn't use it then.
Maybe you shouldn't use words if you don't know what they mean.
How about stitching time saves nine?
Let me ask you this. Do you ever think about this, Sarah? No, seriously. Did you ever think about this? Have you ever think of this when somebody, how are you feeling? Well, I'm doing, I'm better, I'm above par. Well, you're not supposed to be above par. That's a golfing term. Par is average. You are supposed to be below par. In fact, the further below par you are, the better you have golfed. If something's above par, it's bad. That no one ever uses that phrase correctly, and it fills me with a black, viscous rage.
If it's above my, is it better?
Okay.
That was stupid.
All right, I'm going to read this, and then we're going to break. You sons of bitches. A woman left grossly disfigured and without a nipple or belly button as a result of disastrous plastic surgery wants her case to be a warning to others. or in the case of this program, to be a few moments' amusement. In a single operation, the woman had breast reduction and abdominoplasty, as well as liposuction, that left loose flaps of what she called hideous skin hanging from her upper
hideous
arms.
Hideous skin?
Hideous skin. I didn't really know what liposuction was, she said. I thought I was going to have a nice flat stomach afterward as a result of a tummy tuck. The well-known surgeon who performed the operation faces charges of professional misconduct. The doctor told me that I was the perfect candidate because I had no bottom whatsoever. She sat on her spine, I guess, and I was going to look great when it was over. A plastic surgeon expert told the tribunal that the woman was left with grossly disfigured bosoms. Unsightly scarring.
Why are you reading this?
Because it's another one of those, your life could be worse kind of a thing. Think about whatever's going on wrong in your life today, Sarah. You don't have to say it out loud, but think about whatever's going wrong in your life.
Okay.
And I would like to encourage everyone, we're going to have this, I'm going to make this a daily feature. It could be worse. I would like everybody now to take 10 seconds. Think about what the most pressing problem in your life is right now.
No popcorn music?
No, we're thinking
about
among
the bad
ourselves.
Of our life.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Think about whatever the most pressing problem in your life is. Now, here's this woman. She was left with grossly disfigured bosoms, unsightly scarring, gross distortion of the pubic area, and, quote, unimpressive results from the liposuction. The operation, which was supposed to take 3 days in separate increments, instead was done in 4 hours without a break. The surgeon cut blood flow to her right nipple, causing it to wither and fall away. Her umbilical stump, that's a phrase you don't hear that often, her umbilical stump also sloughed away from the body.
What's your umbilical stump?
I don't know.
Is that your belly button?
Who knows? The abdominoplasty had still not healed properly, and after 2 months after the initial surgery, the woman woke up to find her bed was soaked in a thick, bloody liquid. The hearing is scheduled to resume tomorrow. Gross distortion of the pubic area. See, doesn't that make whatever's going on in your life seem smaller by comparison? It's a public service. Hey, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Tim Riley around the corner. The top five. Peter Carlin. Later on, Tom Likas. Don't you go anywhere, my friends. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Just a few. We'll talk to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Top five coming up. Peter Carlin and so forth. Let's see here. Trent, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
Hey. I just want to say you're unusually entertaining today and refreshing. I find myself sort of in between politically on things and it's good to hear your kind of take on things, sort of in between for us people who care, but not really.
Now, we believe that everyone is deeply stupid.
I want to make a comment about your downhill thing. I thought you hit it, I'm going to back you up on that, because when somebody is really, really sick, like on, they're going downhill.
Yes.
See, so I wanted to back you up on that, and then also very funny about the golf, the par.
See, that's what I'm saying. If somebody says, let's go back up to the downhill thing for a second, because Tim and Sarah don't appreciate how much this is a conundrum for me. If somebody says the downhill is a good thing, which I think was Sarah's claim, if I say that my
career... Well, it's good and bad.
If I say my career is going downhill, you wouldn't feel very good about that, would you?
Exactly.
But if I say, well, it's all uphill from here, that doesn't sound very good either. Neither of them... I don't know which way you're supposed to be going. Are you supposed to be going uphill or downhill for a compliment? Which way is good? Makes no sense at all. See?
Yeah, I hear you.
And the above par thing is just frustrating.
Well, I think it depends on if you're just maybe in a car or not when you say it.
Maybe. If I'm in a car trapped downtown a bunch of hippies. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Trent.
Patchouli and what was it? Patchouli, the smell of patchouli and...
Joblessness.
Joblessness, I love that.
To be fair, they're probably... Thank you, Trent. There are probably worse than people there who had jobs. Their jobs seem to be keeping me from getting anywhere. Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. Hey, the downhill, when downhill is... a positive thing is, like, you want to think of it like it's physical labor. Like, when she was six, she was heading up, and she hits the peak where she's at now, so the rest of her sickness is basically all downhill, which means, obviously, it's easier to go downhill than it is to go uphill. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Not at all.
Well, that's okay.
I think you're ready to go downhill if you're in a soapbox derby.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody had cancer, and you say, how's the cancer? Well, it's all downhill from here. I'm not sure that that's good.
No, that's not good, but it particularly with people like in my family and stuff use it a lot, I guess, because they're all stupid rednecks. But
it's good to have pride.
So, I mean, because it can have, like, hey, my career is going downhill. So I understand what you're saying there, but, like, when you're saying it, like, it's all downhill from here, which means it's easy. You're thinking of physical labor. Well, it's easier to walk downhill than it is uphill. So when you're saying, telling her it's all downhill from here, that means it's easier. She's on the easier side of being sick.
It's true. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, hey, sure, no problem.
Okay, there you go. That's Joe. How you doing over there, Tim?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Let's do one more then. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, if you still rode your bike once in a while, you would remember that these big hills that you ride up are kind of like the sickness. And when you get to the peak of that hill, you just get to sit back and relax because it's all downhill from here, such as the sickness going away.
Okay, your snarkiness about my biking habits notwithstanding, and I did ride today, you bastard.
Okay, did you ride up a hill?
I did.
Okay, liken that to the sickness. Now
I did ride. Hold on, Sarah's shaking. I did ride up a hill.
When you got to the top of the hill, how good did you feel to know you didn't have to pedal and it was just all downhill from here?
Okay, except.
Oh my God, are you really spending this much airtime talking about this?
I'm saying it's confusing. It's a confusing sentence, don't you think, Sarah? It's a confusing saying.
What's her name? Susan Reynolds was sick.
Yes.
Okay, the hill is her sickness. So she's climbing to the top, sick. Get to the top. Ooh, it's easy now. Just like the sickness went away.
Because she's finally given in and she's just accepted her fate.
She's gotten to the top of the hill and she has no exertion. She can sit back and enjoy the ride.
All right. It sounds like you're talking about something else. Thank you, sir.
And I am.
Okay. You're still
I am now from the Ministry
and we're out.
Of Truth. This is
Tagging Merrily. A Cold War era siren will now have a home in Clatsop County on the beach. It'll warn people about tsunamis coming. It'll be removed from Cobble Hall at Oregon State University and be taken to the Astoria area. This is a Thunderbolt brand siren manufactured in the early 1950s. It hasn't been tested in over 20 years. Largely forgotten, but apparently it still works. They'll find out when they get it there. Oregon State has given the siren to Clatsop County. It'll blare all the way to Warrenton, Astoria, and Hammond. So if you live out there, you know what that means. It'll only be turned off if there's a tsunami coming. So it's not like a day call dex or anything like that.
And this is
for tsunamis only.
And this is where?
Clatsop County, Astoria.
There are no tsunamis that are going to be hitting us.
There's nobody lives in Astoria. There's like 15 people who live there.
Yeah.
And the houses are falling off cliffs.
Seriously.
I mean, you're more of a danger from that.
You don't want to be hit by a tsunami? Don't live on the edge of Haystack Rock.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a pretty self-explanatory solution.
So get ready for the tsunami horn.
Yeah.
Coming to a town near
tsunami
you.
Tsunami horn.
Tsunami horn sounds like something that our ancestors would have blown before they exchanged something for a pile of shiny beads. Me blow great tsunami horn. Pray to Eagle God and Sky. Open casino. Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, here's something we can all participate in, because I don't want anyone to think I'm making this story up.
Oh, no. Is this the thing you mentioned earlier?
Let's all go to KGW.com.
This is like picture pages, kids. Go to KGW.com.
And find the story that says, Broadway Bridge closing for movie production work. It's not one of the main stories. It's one of the littler stories.
All right, I'm on that page now.
So I will read along. This was written by David Kropp of the KGW.com staff, and I will read it word for word. The Broadway Bridge will be closed Monday night into Tuesday morning for a movie screw.
And it does say that, by the way.
It does say that in the first sentence.
I'm looking at the webpage right now.
What is a movie screw?
Well, it used to be...
That's called KGW and
F. Let's do it.
It used to be the casting couch, but now that they're in Portland, perhaps they didn't move all the furniture with them.
Scotty, can you... Please not be calling KGW.
We have to do it on the air of the KGW.com
staff. We want to find out what this movie screw is all about and if everybody's invited.
Can I participate?
Is it an open call?
all right, so this is...
one lane of traffic will be closed for this movie screw from 8 to 9. And after that, all the traffic lanes to the bridge and west side ramps will be closed until 5 a.m. So I guess this is more of a bigger group project.
So the
movie's screw.
It's a group screw?
Yes, it is.
So if I'm in one of the other lanes, will I be able to watch the movie screw?
You will be, because the bridge closure will not affect bicyclists, pedestrian, or river traffic.
So
right next to it, they're showing what they call a picture of the Broadway Bridge, which is... really, the Hawthorne Bridge. So we don't know if it's actually the Hawthorne Bridge where this movie screw is taking place, or the Broadway Bridge.
Sarah, do you have the number?
No.
For KGW?
No, I found a number, but I think it's for the studio.
Well, let's
call that one.
Let's call who's ever there.
Let's just call and see who answers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call at random, shall we?
Can I dial out here?
I think you can.
Well, you could, but you're taking your chances.
Wait, where'd it go?
I don't know.
See, contact us.
Let's see.
Right here?
There you are.
That sounds like a dial tone to me.
Yeah, you're going to have to dial mine.
Oh, damn. That's the pound sign. Hold on.
Their main number is 226-5000.
That wasn't that bad.
Well,
what are you doing, monkey?
Hanson over here. Oh. Can you talk on the Hanson over there?
I suppose we'll practice.
Well, just call them.
Because I have to get their permission. I guess I can dump it if they say no.
Yeah.
Yeah. 226-5000. And I guess we want the newsroom.
Newsroom.
Hi, my name is Rick Emerson. I'm calling from KCMD. Can we ask... Okay, can you pick that up, please? Tell him we wish to clarify a story. All right. Yeah, just ask him if he can... I need to get his permission before we can put him on the air. Then we have a question about the bridge closing.
Okay, no, it was about a story that you reported.
It's on their website.
It's on your website, correct?
We'd love to ask about it.
Okay. Thank you for your pleasant manner. Bye-bye.
The answer is no.
Did he refuse to come on?
Yeah.
And I dumped it. I dumped the part where he picked up because
he's like,
why are you calling
me? No. Why are you calling?
We take ourselves very seriously here.
What a dick.
Yeah.
Man, I could not believe. I thought, you know, I'm like, oh, hey, I'm Sarah Dillon, the producer of the Rick Emerson Show. We have a question about.
I wonder
story.
If that's the phrase that triggered the no. You should have just lied. We shouldn't have lied. You should have just identified yourself as being from CBS Radio. If you say Rick Emerson Show, you're going to find that opens that opens fewer and fewer doors as life goes on. That closes more doors.
I noticed that for about a year.
that actually seals off more opportunities.
This is a crack journalism of calling the Broadway Bridge the Hawthorne and the group screw.
You're busy mislabeling Portland landmarks on your website,
yeah,
you
this
idiot.
Is, this is actually the Hawthorne Bridge, which is labeled, and it says it's an ODOT photo.
All right, please, and don't close that, by the way. Keep that page open, because I want to get a screen capture of that. Mm-hmm. So for when they change it and deny it later. Mm-hmm. I'd like to, I'll put that on my website later. I'll illustrate the crack journalism going on at KGW.
I'm sorry, I'm so floored at how rude that guy was to me.
I heard him, I can hear it in his tone of voice. I had to believe now.
Why are you calling
you
here?
You did not hear this, because under FCC guidelines, you have to get somebody's permission before you put them on the air. So I called the KGW switchboard. Which I bleeped, where the woman said, blah, 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 and I said, newsroom, please. And I bleeped even that. The guy picks up, and I said, I'm calling from KCMD AM. We'd like to ask you about one of your news stories. He goes, why are you calling here? Maybe because you're the newsroom, you jag-off. The room from which news is covered. You swine. So I put it on.
I didn't choose the morning for a movie screw.
So we put it on hold. Sarah talks to him, and the guy is just like a dick. about it. He doesn't want to come on and talk.
I was very pleasant, too.
Seriously.
I'm not a news reporter. I don't know what you're talking about. It's like not you reporting the news douche about what's on your website.
The news douche. All right. So, anyway. So just be forewarned that according to KGW, either the Broadway or the Hawthorne, it's really hard to tell what with the shifting sands of their journalistic standards.
But feel free to call them and the phone number that you can find on their website.
Feel free to call KGW, though, and ask them. Now, please be polite, though. If you call, we encourage you, and we are not telling you to call.
It won't help you get anywhere.
They're not going to help you. If you do call, please be polite. Please be polite and courteous. But you might want to call them at KGW and ask about this movie screw, which is happening on the Broadway Bridge, with which they have used a picture of the Hawthorne Bridge.
Maybe we should call Coyne and ask them what they know about this.
Let's call.
Do we have any friends there anymore?
What time is it? Call Coyne and ask them why KGW can't seem to figure out which bridge is which on their news site. Oh, man, that guy's a dick. Oh,
I wish... Is there going to be a live shot of this movie screw?
Oh, I wish I knew that guy's name. I'm glad I don't know the name of whoever answered there, because I'd be cursing him by name right now.
Right. Yeah. It's easy to find out.
Bastard.
I'm just glad we are who we are.
And that's who?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it gets us where we are.
503-733-2970. We have, hello, sir. Do you have information about the...
Movie screw.
About the movie screw that's been reported by KGW.
I wonder how big of a screw that has to be to close a bridge.
We are
all night and morning.
We are simply reporting the news as conveyed to us by KGW.
But will not be clarified.
It's unclear if it's the Broadway Bridge or the Hawthorne Bridge as pictured.
This is a news story by David Croft. Krog?
Yeah.
The Broadway Bridge will be closed Monday night into Tuesday morning for a movie screw. The Broadway Bridge illustrated with a picture of the Hawthorne Bridge, I believe.
It's just too big of a screw for me.
So...
I wanted to address the continent phrase that you spoke of earlier. It's all downhill from here.
Yeah. Mm.
And I wanted to say that there are a few phrases like that that really throw me off myself. And it is, in fact, called a continent. It's like the word cleave in the marriage vows.
Yes.
When somebody says cleaving only unto you, it means both to cling to and to split from. But here's one for you, Rick, that goes directly to you from me. I couldn't possibly have more respect for you.
Yeah, that is, well, yeah. No, it's like, it's, and don't get me started on the could care less, couldn't care less thing. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
There you go. All right, so I'm looking now at the screen capture. A guy sent me this. I'll be sure to post it on my my website here. Broadway Bridge closing for movie production work, says David Krauv, KGW.com, quote, staff, end quote. The Broadway Bridge will be closed Monday night into Tuesday morning for a movie screw. The Broadway Bridge, which on this KGW.com article looks a lot like the Hawthorne Bridge. Boy, and I'd like to thank that guy who answered the phone there for just being the most uncooperative dick that we've talked to in about 3 months.
I would understand if he was just very, you know, dismissive, be like, you know, I'm kind of busy in here right now. Or just even let us know what exactly it is.
How dare he get in the way of our humor? How dare he get in the way of our attempting to ridicule this article?
Well, he wasn't even the thing that pissed... Can I say pissed? Yeah. Anyway, he pissed me off is the fact that he was so, like, blatantly rude about it. Didn't even try to mask his contempt.
We hadn't even revealed the fact that we were going to screw with him. He didn't know that yet. We hadn't even tipped our hand. For all he knows, we might have been calling for something real. Bastard. All right. Here's a tip. This day is... We're like 3/4 done today.
Yeah.
This day is just flying by, man. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
I don't know how to continue after that.
Really? I don't know. It's all down... Never mind. It's all...
Somebody we know has to work for KGW or know somebody.
Well, no one who would admit to it.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I don't really know that they're allowed to say that they listen to us. Did you guys see that I forwarded you that email we got the other day from some guy?
That's cool.
I won't read it on the air because it'll just sound like self, you know,
it'll
whatever.
Sound wanky.
It'll sound like we're sitting there stroking ourselves. But we got some email the other day. Some radio guy. And he created like a whole fake address from which to email us. And it was a lot of, and he was some guy who worked for some other radio company. It's like, I can't reveal my name or where I work for fear of my life, but... You know, I work at another radio company. We think you're great or whatever. So I think we have a lot of people who listen to the media who work in the media. Hi.
What was that?
I'm a professional talk show host.
What's that? It's like you're skipping records.
It's like just a whole lot of prepositions in random order there. I believe we have many people in Portland media who listen to us, but don't necessarily, I don't think they can necessarily be open about that fact. I think there are many closeted listeners around here that they can't necessarily be open about their radio preferences while at the workplace. Here's Jim Riley. We'll do a couple more and then we'll break.
All right. Well, a man who set fire to his own home before heading for breakfast at Denny's has been arrested. John Robb confessed to setting three fires inside his Briar Drive home. This is in Florida, by the way. Located near Universal City. Robb is a disabled man. He lives alone and may have recently received some bad news from his doctor. I'm just shocked. Never thought anyone would do anything like that. I talked to him yesterday for an hour, and he was telling me he was concerned about the doctor, telling him he probably only had 9 days left to live. I wish him no evil, but apparently he set his house on fire and went to eat breakfast at Denny's.
What? I don't know. We're not over there. I can't read it.
Well, apparently,
why did you just ask? Who were you directing that what to just now?
Well, there's a sentence here that doesn't go with the rest of the story.
Is this something to do with a movie screw?
It said Hicks was at his mother's house trying to locate her ashes, but did not find them.
That has nothing to do with the rest of the
but
story.
But nobody was injured in the blaze. Okay, apparently, his mother's ashes were already in the house that burned down. That's what kind of threw me.
Okay.
And he burned down his house and then went to Denny's to forget about it.
My You know what? You know what'll cleanse this horrifying incident right out of my head is a good moons over my hammy. All right, fantastic. My favorite parts of the news hour or any news break are when you actually direct questions at the piece of paper in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here, Rick. I just forwarded the movie screw story to David Letterman. Who knows? That's Jason. Well done, Jason. Hope you included the KGW Chiron there. 503-733-2970. All right, let's see. What else do we have here? Movie screw. Oh, Tori. Hi, Tori, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi, I just called KGW to complain about their shoddy reporting.
Thank you.
And I talked to a lady, and I told her the deal with the movie screw and the Broadway bridge and the picture of the Hawthorne. She's like, that's stupid. Let me transfer you to the newsroom.
Oh, how was the newsroom guy? Was
then
he helpful?
I talked to News Douche.
Was he rude to you?
He was curt.
He was brusque?
Yeah, abrupt.
Yes, and did you convey the information to him?
Yes, and I said, there's something called this movie screw. And he's like, pardon me? And I said, well, your article by David Crowe says there'll be a movie screw. And he said, well, that doesn't sound very nice.
It all depends what you consider to be nice.
I was going to say, I guess it all depends on the situation.
I guess that's his state of mind.
All right, fantastic.
But he said he was going to look into it and see if it needed to be fixed, so it may be disappearing.
If it needed to be fixed. They might just decide that it was amusing enough to leave. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Tori. God, mm-hmm. God bless you. So I thank you for tolerating that guy.
Thanks, Tori.
Thank you, Tori.
Yep, bye.
All right, there you go. That's Tori, News Douche. All right, 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Rick, I wonder if I can read this.
Yes, you can.
Rick, I work at KGW, says this email. I have no way of knowing if this is true, of course. I'm just reading this. Rick, I do work at KGW. I used to put an advertisement for your show on the last page of the newscast rundowns. I guess it's like an internal thing. I guess it's like an internal script. He says, it worked. I've heard some of my colleagues call into the show. I will see that the .com people are thoroughly reamed for the screw thing. Fantastic. Thank you, sir. There's no point in having power if you can't ream people with it. I like that somebody's going to be reamed over the screw thing, though. That makes me happy. Let's see. Does the movie...
look at that bee.
They're going to be reamed for the movie screw. Rick, does the movie screw require the bridge to be raised and lowered repeatedly? Just curious. Signed, Andy. Okay. Let's do one more and we'll take a break. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Springfield police shot and killed a pit bull that escaped from its yard and bit a boy in the face. Witnesses scared the dog off. The boy was on his bicycle, and he has scratches and bruises on his body. He was taken to Sacred Heart Medical Center in Eugene. His injury is not life-threatening. Officer Darren Better spotted the dog about a block away from the owner's house. The dog moved aggressively toward the officer, and he shot it, as he should have. One less pit bull for any of us to worry about. So a happy ending to that.
Well done. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Take a break. Come back. Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, the top five. Later on, Peter Carlin. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 70. Say there's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.